I want to speak to you today on heaven. And I want us to look at John chapter 14. And I want us to read verses 1 through 3 this morning. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I heard Mark Lowry said, you can't go to heaven before your time. He says, if you decide to go to heaven before your time, that's called suicide. But your mansion might not be prepared yet, and you'll have to live with your in-laws. There was a Sunday school class with a teacher. She asked several questions on if she did certain things, would you go to heaven? And so she mentioned something, and they all said, no. And she mentioned something else, and the entire class said, no. And it happened several times. And so finally she asked them, that how do you go to heaven? And a new boy in the class, he spoke up loudly and he said, you have to be dead. Do you realize today 250,000 people die every day? 250,000. That means they either go to heaven or they go to hell. The first thought is glorious. The second one is very saddening. But there's something interesting. Heaven is rarely talked about from most pulpits today. Most Sunday school classes, they don't talk about heaven. And the overwhelming main topics have become self-help, psychological studies. Now, the Bible has much to say on self-improvement. It is not the main thing of getting to heaven. Thankful for the Bible. Amen. Without it, without the Word of God, you and I have no hope. Well, as a result, many of our churches have become weaker with this misplaced evidence. But I want us to consider a few things this morning. I want us to think about first the prominence of heaven. The prominence of heaven. Do you realize it's mentioned over 500 times in the Bible? 500 times. The word itself means high and lifted up. And so we think of heaven. It is that which is glorious and marvelous. The problem is, it's not prevalent in our hearts. What if our hearts and our minds was on heaven all the time? What would it do to our lives? How would it change us? The providence of heaven. Let's also think about the plurality of heaven. Do you realize there are three heavens? You say, good night, preacher. I can't even figure out one, and you tell me there's three. Well, there is. And let me explain that to you. First of all, there's what we might call the atmospheric heaven. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, it is written, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That's talking about where you and I live at. which is surrounded by what I would call the second heaven. But let's think also in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "And God said, let the water spring forth abundantly, the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So you and I, we live in a place that's referred to as heaven. The problem with that, in some minds, is that's all the farther they're going. That's all the greater they're going to think. But let's consider the second heaven. We could call it the stellar heaven. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God did set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." So we find God speaking of another heaven. And it's that which houses the stars, the moon, the sun, all the planets. And that is a stellar heaven. But we also realize that there is a place where God resides. Are we not taught to pray, "Our Father which in heaven"? So it's the very presence of God in heaven. And I think about what it says in Matthew 5. He says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In Psalm 11, verse 4, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." So we have that heaven that we reside in. We have that heaven that envelops our atmosphere, and we might call it outer space. But then we find there's also a place in heaven where God dwells. And by the way, it's called a place, a place. John 14, 1. What does it say? "Let not your hearts be troubled." Jesus had told them that he was going away. And he wanted them to understand something. And that is that he was going to prepare a place for them. A place for them. Greatest definition, I think, of heaven is found right here in these verses, as it's called, "My Father's house." When my wife and I were first married and we went off to Bible school, we went to Pontiac, Michigan. Pontiac, Michigan is 750 miles from here. And we would take once or twice every year. It was all we could do and afford. And we would drive that 750 miles that we might be in our Father's house. And I mean our earthly father. Because there's just something about that place. Then we moved to Seattle, and the distance almost tripled to 1,800 miles. Two of my children do the same thing every year, sometimes two or three times a year. Why is it? It's a place of warmth and love. Always love going back home and seeing Mom and Dad and those who were my brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. The Greek word for place is interesting. It's topos. T-O-P-O-S. And it means a very specific place. Now we think of where is heaven. Most people would say it's up. We normally think that way. Acts 1:10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. But I ask you a question today. Where's up? Where's up? If we were to move to China, where would we point? The same direction. Guess what? The earth is round. We'd be pointed two different directions. So where is up? Interesting question. I want us to think about what Satan bragged about. In Isaiah chapter 14, he said this, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. Listen to this. In the sides of the north. In the sides of the north. All of you southerners are here, be mad at me today. But heaven's in the northern sky. Astronomers tell us there's a place in the northern sky that is void of anything. Many believe that that's probably where heaven is. A lot of folks say that heaven is just beyond our imagination. We can't really know a whole lot about it. Matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible that seems to relate that. In 1 Corinthians 2:1 or 2:9, it says, but as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But we forget something. There's another verse following, and that says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Also, let us think about the preciousness of heaven. The preciousness of heaven. Our Redeemer is there. Our Savior, he's there. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Our Redeemer is there. You know, we could talk about all the beauties of heaven. We could talk about the golden streets. We could talk about the gates. They're made of pearl. We could think of the river of life, or really the tree of life and the river that runs throughout. We could discuss the streets of heaven. We could kind of get a glimpse of what it may be like. But I don't know about you. I think the first thing I want to see in heaven is my Savior. I've thought about that a lot this week. How precious he is. I think also we find that our relationships are in heaven. Hebrews 12:23 says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The church of the firstborn, those that are saved, written in heaven. I have relatives in heaven. was thinking about your dad yesterday, Greg, and I remember he had gotten very sick, and we had gone down and moved him back up here. They were living in Texas at the time, and he came and lived at my house. And I remember the very first meal, my father-in-law never combed his hair. And he came to the table, and I looked at him, and I said, "Harold, we comb our hair when we eat at my table." He didn't say anything. He turned around, went to the bathroom, and came back with hair that was combed. You see, most of the time, he combed his hair with a hat. But when he took off the hat, well, it was a mess. He's in glory today. And I'm thankful one of these days I'll get to see Harold. I got a son there. I will get to see. Our relationships are in heaven. But also think about this. Our resources are in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven." We have resources in heaven. Somebody said, amen. God takes care of us. When you get saved, God becomes your Father, and you receive an inheritance from your Father. Also, our reservation is in heaven. Notwithstanding, Luke tells us, "In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." When you get saved, God records it. It's forever recorded in heaven. Some people say, "Well, I think that book is a computer." I don't know what it is, but I do know this. There's a reservation there. There was a young lady that was a tremendous singer, and she was asked to sing at a wedding. This wedding was very plush. It was plush. And she was excited about the invitation. And so she prepared herself, got the song, and went. It was the top two floors of the highest building in the Northwest that afterwards they held a reception. She was excited because she had heard how marvelous a place it was. And so after the wedding, they made the trip over to that particular place, got an elevator, and went up to the top floor, and all got off the elevator. At the entrance into the room they would be was a maitre d'. And as they walked up, he says, "Invitation, please." And she says, "I thought that because I sang at a wedding, I got to go in." He said, "Ma'am, you must have a reservation." He called for another waiter, and he said, "Usher them over to the elevator. Take them down that service elevator to the parking garage." They were devastated. And on the way home, as they traveled, they said nothing for a long time. And finally, they David in Dostoevsky's. And she said, I received an invitation in the mail, but I didn't respond to it. And I didn't bring it with me because I thought I could get in on my own good works. What a startling thought, as we have a reservation available, but we don't make it. I believe that tells us in John chapter 14 how to make that reservation. If you go to verse 3, it says, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But let's not stop there. And he says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we not know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And notice what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where's the Father? In heaven. How do we get to him? Through Jesus. What do? We ask the Lord Jesus for our reservation. Say, why do I need a reservation? Because you can't get there on your works. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, I ask you to move upon hearts as only you can do. Lord, the voice is weak, but the message is real. The Word of God is strength. And the Holy Spirit of God, you can move whatever is needed. Perhaps within our reach are folks whose minds has not been stayed upon heaven. Perhaps the things of this world has caught their attention. Oh God, repentance and bring them back to that spot of marvelous fellowship with Jesus. Maybe there's one here today that's without Christ. They've never made that reservation. I pray, oh God, that they might realize they can call out to you this day and you'll save them and reserve a place.